Night Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. We finally catch up with the cast of the Killjoys to talk about what you're missing with one of the brightest new shows of the summer. And then there's our exclusive look at the new indie film L.A. Slasher that takes on reality TV in kind of a bloody way. Plus, there's plenty to talk about as we head to Comic-Con. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point.
One of the bright spots of summer television has been Killjoys, the new sci-fi series from the folks who did Orphan Black and Lost Girl. And right off the bat, one of the most charming parts of the show is the relationship among the three main characters. According to actor Luke McFarlane, that's something that actually started well before the cameras began rolling.
I mean, it's always so much of his credit due to the casting process. We had a really great casting director, and they took the time to really kind of do mix and matches. So, as we were sort of slowly assembling this group, we kind of auditioned with like various people. And that's always terribly nerve-wracking as an actor. But I think ultimately it really is a useful sort of thing to do. Because, yeah, we got along from the beginning almost immediately. Very similar sense of humor.
Luke was happy to admit that fans might find another comparison here to another science fiction classic show.
I think what is interesting about Killjoys is, like, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons to Firefly, that show. And what I think makes the Killjoys really different as an entity and as a show is that we do have to abide by these rules. So the tension exists within that sort of how far can you bend the rules. And I think that makes for an interesting thing. It's not like we're just rogue cowboys. We really do have to operate with inside the system. So then it becomes a sort of like doubly complicated way of sort of bending the things as far as we can. But yes, of course it becomes complicated because we don't always abide by the rules.
Heather John Kamen plays Dutch, a character with a mysterious background, and one that she says will be played out as the season goes on.
You see hints of it at the beginning of the season, of kind of her past slowly catching up with her. And as the show goes on, it kind of seems more like a massive change. And yes, absolutely, you're going to expect a lot of unraveling of Dutch and her character and her past and why she is where she is now. There's going to be a lot of questions answered, but it's going to be more questions even you know, as the show goes on.
Catch Heather, Luke, and Aaron Ashmore in Killjoys with new episodes every Friday on Sci-Fi. And catch up right now at sci-fi.com. There's a few of the things that we think are extra cool coming up at this year's Comic-Con. Of course, you can always find more all through the week as we post direct from the floor of San Diego every day at GetThePointRadio.com. The Suicide Girls are returning to Comic-Con with the Suicide Girls Blackheart Burlesque taking place on Thursday the 9th. It's called a Geek Fantasy Spectacular. It's supposed to be pretty sexy and cool. If you'd like to get more information or to get advanced tickets, you can do that right now at blackheartburlesque.com. The stars of the True TV show Impractical Jokers are headed to Comic-Con, more specifically to a spot called the Museum of Impractical History. They'll be there throughout the con with all sorts of activities, including a chance for you to get a new version of their recent DC comic book. Get that signed, too, as well. The guys will be at the Museum of Impractical History on Thursday, July the 9th, and again on Friday, July the 10th. And to get more information and directions, too, you can go to the website, truetv.com/impracticaljokers. IDW, along with their new partner brand Top Shelf, have a lot of things planned for the show, starting as early as Wednesday on July the 8th for the preview night, where they'll unveil Mike Zeck's classic Marvel Stories Artist Edition with a special launch party. Mike will be along to sign the book as well. Don Rosa's Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck Artist Edition will also be there for a launch party as well. Both begin at the IDW booth, which is 2743 on the floor, at 6 o'clock, preview night, Wednesday, July the 8th. Among the cool stuff you may want to grab, some of it comes from the guys at Mondo, who have some posters, vinyl, and exclusive collectible figures available, including ones based on Ant-Man, Superman, Turtles, and much more. One of the coolest is an Ant-Man screen print. It's done by Kevin Tong. It's done on holofoil, which you remember is that unique reflective surface that was used for a few special comics back in the 90s. The regular version of the poster will be on sale at a future date. However, you can see it and get a chance to pre-order a very special limited edition at the Mondo booth, which is number 835. There's, of course, a ton more things going on. We'll do our best to dig them up for you direct from the floor. And again, follow us every day as we post to getthepointradio.com. Hashtag The Point SDCC.
The Point, The Point.
Sometimes the concept of reality television can be frightening enough, but you add in the elements of true horror, and what you have are the ingredients for an interesting project called L.A. Slasher. This much-buzzed-about indie film is directed by Martin Owen, who is happy to sit down and give me a little more insight into the film.
It is a very much an 80s-influenced horror movie about celebrity and celebrity culture. Not just reality TV, but celebrity as a whole and the society's... modern society's current obsession with wanting to be famous for the sake.
From original script to screen, there have been a few changes.
When I came on board, there was a title, L.A. Slasher, and there was an idea that the L.A. Slasher targeted celebrities. And that was it. So basically, I wanted to create a movie that existed in the horror genre, but it was also fun and kind of unashamedly committed to what it is. And I also, I was very interested in the whole reality TV angle because, I don't have any hatred or anger towards reality TV or celebrity culture. I do find it fascinating, the absurdity of the whole thing, So they were really the influences of the screenplay. And then stylistically, the whole 80s thing... just came about from the fact that I think I'm inherently a child of the 80s. And as I previously mentioned, I love the kind of fun-going nature of a lot of the kind of genre movies of the 80s.
Martin mentioned some 80s influences here. So we talked about his inspirations from that decade.
I'm a big John Carpenter fan. In terms of just movies from the 80s, I really like Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York, amongst other John Carpenter movies. So it was really those types of movies where you kind of watch them and they're kind of like, even though you shouldn't as a filmmaker sort of divert from a particular genre, they're kind of like a million genres in one, because
right.
You kind of watch those movies, oh, I'm having fun, oh, I'm scared. Now I'm slightly tense, it's become a thriller, or it's become absurd again. I think the reason why they kind of flip-flop through a number of genres is, what I previously said, they are just unashamedly committed in telling that story in the visual language that they want to tell it in, and that's kind of what I think influenced me with L.A. Slasher.
So is L.A. Slasher satire or horror, or a combination of both?
If I had to categorize it, I would say it was a social satire that exists in the horror genre. So that's probably how most succinctly I would describe it. And, in terms of the balance between the horror elements, the horror slightly thriller elements, and the satirical elements, I think... I try to plan it out and you try to work it out. And to be honest, it was definitely more, we just organically found our rhythm. We organically found our rhythm during the shoot. And the same with the edit. As we got to the edit, we really realized that this thing could handle both, could handle being a satire, a social satire that exists in the horror bracket. So once we kind of really, embraced that and accepted that, it then became a much kind of smoother process.
With the film wrapped and in theaters, Martin's already on the way to his next project.
I'm currently, I'm literally in the final week of editing my second feature film. So that went into production last year, the end of last year. The film wrapped shooting just before Christmas, and I've been in... kind of been in post-production since the beginning of the year. I wrap editing next week, and then the movie will be kind of finished in its entirety in mid-August.
Wow.
And that's That's a science fiction thriller, and it's called Let's Be Evil, and it's about augmented reality glasses. You know, so like if you like more sort of advanced Google Glass or you know Microsoft HoloLens, and it's about a group of children, a test group of children, with these glasses that are being workflowed on. But not everything goes to plan, and we follow three adult chaperones who are there to help the children. It's you know it's very much it's a true sort of science fiction thriller, but in being a true science fiction thriller, it's going to appeal to a horror audience.
L.A. Slashers stars Misha Barton, Brooke Hogan, and Andy Dick, among others. Catch it right now in select theaters, or it's easy to find on video on demand. That does it for the podcast. Well, we're on the way to Comic-Con, so we'll take a break from the podcast for, well, just a little over a week. Catch us right back here right around the 15th, and we'll share with you all the fun that we had. In the meantime, follow our adventures every day with posts at GetThePointRadio.com, hashtag ThePointSDCC. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under The Point Radio. Have a great 4th of July. See you back here in just a few days. Get the point.